Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Ludicrous City. What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, and thank God we're not Philadelphia. What a night for the city of brotherly love.
The Phillies gone?
Did you see what happened?
In the Phillies game?
Yes.
No, what happened?
The 11th inning.
Damn.
They have an out at first, a force out.
And they throw it over?
They throw it home, and he misses. Yo, like, as bad as the Eagles.
So if he get the out at first, it's over.
Over. It's two outs.
So why does he try to go home?
I don't know, B. You got to watch this play because it's just, it was like a shockingly, I mean, Lanville, you're the seam head here. And that's like a little league play. Like, you know what to do.
If there's a force out, you definitely go there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
the 11th inning of the National League Division Series.
If the bases aren't loaded, you're damn. But even if the bases loaded,
in the 11th inning,
you go
to force a game
to the easiest place. But if you're throwing home where it has to be a perfect throw and tag him, that's idiotic. I mean, listen, bro.
Idiotic is the right way to describe it.
My last time playing baseball. On the team, I was in the ninth grade. That's my last time playing. And I would know if I got a force out at first, this guy's on second, I mean on third base, he's going home, he's doing that to distract me. Go to the damn easy out. You throw it there, he catches it, he's out.
Yeah.
I got to throw a perfect ball and you got to let him tag him?
Yeah.
No, I mean, it was a force out at home, too. The bases were loaded.
Force out at home as well?
Okay.
The thing was the runner probably would have beat the throw, even if it was good. The catcher was standing on home plate pointing to first.
Like, throw it over there.
Throw it to first.
So,
yeah.
So the catcher's not even set up for, like, the collision or whatever.
And then it was a terrible throw, too.
Oh, man.
And not to mention, in regulation, didn't they walk in? Listen, baseball was the second screen for me last night. I was watching football. But didn't they walk in the tying run in regulation?
I have no idea. I would never watch that garbage, but I did watch the play they lost on hundreds of times. It was great.
I mean.
So, Brian, what happened, Brian?
The closer they got at the deadline that, you know, has his own entrance song that they all love.
Duran or whatever?
A run. Duran, yeah.
He walked in the tying run.
Yeah, bases loaded to Mookie Betts, ball four.
In the ninth?
Seventh or eighth. They brought him in early.
Well, you know what?
So that happens.
I would love to be a fly on the wall at WIP today.
So CK said he was listening, and it was on fire.
Listen to me, dude. You know how sometimes our fans call in? I'm like, they are like that sometimes when they win. If you win by 1 point in a football game up there, it's like you lost.
All right, here's the play, B. Hold on. I'm going to start it over. So this is the play. Can you see? Look, throw to first.
Wait. You didn't tell me it was the pitcher who threw the ball.
Yes.
The pitcher threw the ball that horrible? All they had to do is just field it, turn around, and just do a quick little toss. Like you throw to your little kids in the yard. You know you try to throw the ball to your girls, and you got to throw it to a little looper?
Yeah.
That would have worked that first place. He missed the catcher by like 5-6 feet.
Here's what I'd like to do. 800-636-1067. Is Jeff here? No. White Brian, you're going to answer the phones. Where are the Philly fans? Because I know you're here in the D.C. area. Like, you guys show up to the games.
Nah, they're not going to be here today.
Phone lines are open to any Philly fan all day.
800-636-1067.
Yeah. Phone lines are open to Philly fans all day. Because I was listening to PFT's podcast this morning, pardon my take, and they have a big Philly guy on their show, Max. He was apoplectic. Like, he said he's quitting sports, like he doesn't want to do it anymore.
He's not going to quit.
He said, of course not. He said,
he's going to be trying to climb a pole soon.
He said, and Lanville, I'm curious what your take on this. He said that's the worst playoff loss since Bill Buckner in the World Series. The worst way to lose since Bill Buckner in the World Series.
I don't know.
I mean, just
it's pretty brutal. I don't know about
It's brutal.
It's a division series game, so you can't compare it to something like the World Series.
It's one thing if you get walked off in the bottom of the 11th, if somebody just makes a play, like somebody slaps a double down the line you get walked off.
The bases were loaded, Jay.
Sure.
You're in a bad situation anyway. But still, routine play, field, first base, done.
Oh, somebody's calling. Be a Philly fan.
Field, first place, done. That's how it goes.
So that game ends around 8:30, 9 o'clock-ish.
Mm-hmm.
It was very odd timing. They had the Phillies-Dodgers game early and then Cubs-Brewers late. I don't know why they had the West Coast game earlier, but whatever. Then lock in for Eagles-Giants, Thursday night football.
That O-line.
The Eagles are a mess.
Right? Listen, bro. I know they say nothing is going on, but one thing I know about sports. When you're playing sports and there's internal strife, you get what you saw last night. You watch them from the offensive coordinator trying to force the ball to A.J. Brown to Jalen Hurts is like distant from his teammates. The offensive line, complete garbage. Listen, that's was one of the best, they say the best offensive line. Man, Mulata was getting whipped like Little League football whipped last night. So when you got all those different things going on, bro, things don't work. You got your Jalen Carter didn't play. Your D-line still wouldn't stop and no damn body wouldn't get no. And then once Quinyon Mitchell got hurt, they were just going at those dudes.
The Eagles are 4-2. They're still in first place in the NFC East. Washington can tie them for first place in the NFC East Monday night. They're 4-2. They have a negative point differential on the season. I heard this morning. This stat stunned me. They've been outgained in every game this season.
Man, I can see that.
Like, their offense is anemic. Saquon's not running as well. The O-line's not blocking as well. Hurts can be a great passer. We've seen him have the two best passing games of his career in two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But he doesn't look like that right now.
No, he didn't.
He had Devontae Smith deep, overthrew him by like 6 yards.
Yeah.
That was a walk-in touchdown for Smith.
Sometimes you got to put that ball on the person. You know, instead of leading them when they're wide open like that, one thing my quarterback days, when a guy was wide open, I tried to stick the ball onto him.
Sure.
Because I'd much rather him catch a 40-yard gain than me miss a 70-yard touchdown.
Totally.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and Coach Cully will always say, if he's wide open, don't try to lead him. Try to throw it on him. And I watch quarterbacks, and I see guys open, and most quarterbacks throw the ball zoom at the guy. He let that thing fly, and it was so flat, he had no arc to it.
Totally.
You have no arc to it, you're going to have problems.
All right, Lanville, let me hear the game call of the Phillies play bottom of the 11th when the pitcher just loses his mind. Here's the game call of it.
Trey. Hines breaks his bat. Kirk Ring, got to find it. Throws to the plate. Oh, my goodness. He throws it away, and the Dodgers have won. The Dodgers win.
See, listening to that right there and then watching the play as well, I don't think if he throws it to first base, he's throwing. That pitcher choked.
Yeah.
That's what happened. It's not the fact that he threw it to the wrong spot. He choked. You throw the ball across the plate and you miss a guy from half the distance by that much?
By 10 feet.
Come on, dog, please.
Credit to my man Brad in Northern Virginia, who's a Philly fan. Brad, how you feeling this morning?
Guys, I got nothing for you. I'm one of those rare Philly fans that aren't going to try to defend anybody or anything like that. that pitcher last night probably would have dropped the ball if he was standing in front of that batter to tag him, and he probably would have dropped it. That game was way too big for him. And as far as the Eagles go, all I need is Kevin Petullo to be fired directly into the sun. That's it. Because I don't know what he does. He definitely didn't learn anything from Kellen Moore or anything like that from last year, because I knew what they were going to call last night sitting on my living room in Woodbridge.
Wow.
And I got nothing for it. I mean, that was
– isn't that Sirianni's buddy, though?
Oh, yeah.
Petullo and Sirianni's buddy, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He ain't go. I already resigned myself to that one. He ain't going nowhere.
What's his credentials? I understand.
Nothing.
He came up with Sirianni.
And
he's from Jersey.
What did he ever do? Like, what accomplishments he had prior to coming up with Sirianni?
I can't find any anywhere. He just came up with Sirianni. And to be honest with you, Kellen Moore was not hired by Sirianni. Kellen Moore was hired by Howie Roseman.
Mm. They were in Indy together. Kevin Petullo played in college at South Florida. Got his first job with the Chiefs probably in the Herm Edwards days, 07-08.
Mm-hmm.
Was a QC for the Bills. Then he got to Indy at the same time as Sirianni. And so how do you feel about – who do you feel better about, Bryce Harper or Kevin Petullo?
Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper, everybody wants to kill Bryce Harper for the way the postseason went. He was the only one that hit. Kyle Schwarber was 0 for September going into the playoffs, and he was the only one that did anything.
Here's what I can tell you. Since Bryce signed – with the Phillies, the Nationals have one World Series. Phillies have zero.
Oh, yeah. No, I am totally with you. I
don't worry. You got another 7 years of him blow drying his hair.
Yeah.
Yo,
he cut, by the way. He's got some random buzz cut. All he does is cut his blow dry his hair and have kids. He just had his fourth kid.
Congrats, Bryce. Thank you for the call,
Made
Brad.
All that
thank
money.
You for being
you
a
gotta,
good sport.
You got to do something to rest yourself.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah. All right, guys.
What they call this guy? The stress buster.
The slump buster.
This guy is a comedian. He calls himself the stress buster. Well, Bryce Harper, he's busting stress. I'll tell you that, boy.
Phone lines are open for Philly fans all day. You want Bryce gone? You want Petullo gone? You want Sirianni gone?
That dude wasn't a typical Philly fan.
He was very calm.
He's
lived in Virginia for
but
a
he
while.
Say he's one of those that don't sit up there and try to make excuses. That's cool.
I almost want to get like Ike on the phone or something just to check in with WIP. I bet your boy Angelo, that's like the legend of Philly sports radio.
Angelo retired, didn't he?
Yeah, I bet today he doesn't mind being retired.
Well, no, because Angelo liked to stir stuff up. You know, he liked to stir it up, man.
Who's your buddy that has his own show that left WIP and just does his own thing now?
Oh, Anthony Gargano.
Text Ant. See if we can get him on. Let's get a vibe check in Philadelphia.
Will do.
Listen, the Phillies are cooked. That season is over. The Eagles, however, are still 4-2. But they got problems. They got combustible personalities. And I said this after 5 weeks last year. They ended up turning around, went to the Super Bowl, won it. Philly was a great team last year, period. I'm taking nothing away from what the Eagles accomplished last year. But I thought for sure, I have thought this for some time, Howie runs that team, and then Big Dom runs that team. Sirianni is too volatile himself to be able to handle the low moments. So I don't know if this mini bye will take care of things. You also we got to credit the Giants.
Oh, hell yeah.
Jackson Dart is giving them something. Cam Scataboo.
Hmm?
Runs like a badass. I don't know the longevity of his career with that running style, but damn, he's good right now.
Yeah.
The Giants deserve credit.
And
they
I
were
can tell
good
you this,
last night.
Jackson Dart, they better get him to stop running. They can say what they want. He had a concussion last night.
I have never seen the blue medical tent handled like it was last
but
night.
As soon as he got hit, what's the first thing he did? When he went down, he grabbed his head.
Yeah.
When you grab your head immediately, you're telling someone, headache. He got a damn concussion last night. But this, look, the NFL say what they want to say. He was going back in the game. The coach walks into the tent, which is not supposed to happen.
No.
And the then damn player goes into the tent, not supposed to happen. I'm going to tell you, he's an electric dude. Jackson Dart, I have to give it to him. Dude's electric. He going to get knocked the hell out. This is what I hate about the commentators, too. You heard the commentators last night? Oh, just let him play. That's his style. Well, why the rest of the quarterbacks that run, they can't, that ain't their style? You see what I'm saying? It was a complete different narrative. But that dude last night, he going to get bleep up.
Yeah.
If he keep running like that.
The way the he blue lowers medical
the, tent. He's trying to lower his shoulder on people.
I have never seen a blue tent situation like that. Frankly, the Giants should probably get fined.
They will probably get fined because the dude who's the independent person, hell, he wasn't in the tent. They pushed him out the damn tent. Am I right, Brian? The independent dude was standing there. They pushed him to the side.
I've never seen something like that. That is not how it's supposed to go. You're going to take head injury serious. But White Brian, for you and your Giants, how you feeling this morning?
I feel great. Jackson Dart looked like Josh Allen light. And my favorite part about the injury is he holds his head, and then as soon as the doctors come over, he starts flexing his hamstring.
Yeah. you saw what I saw. He had a damn concussion.
He
got his bell rung. Because what happened, the head came down right on the top of the guy's knee.
Yeah.
Boom. Yep. And you could see the jolt. So
I was watching with my wife. She's like, oh, he's hurt.
Yes.
Like, because you saw him hit the knee. And
look,
I've never the fact that a rookie running back is running in the blue medical tent, that sideline might be a little out of control, Ryan Daboll.
Their rookies are running the team.
Clearly.
The rookies are running the team right now.
Well, did you see, so Dart has to go out, and the medical tent situation is a disaster, is just a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the one pass Russ Wilson threw?
Yeah, I saw it.
And that's when Daboll was like, get the kid back in. Russ looked god awful.
Hey, I saw it.
All right, Charles is on the line. Charles, you are a Philly fan. How you doing, buddy?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Good morning. I didn't say I was a Philly fan. I said I was a Jalen Hurts fan.
Well, how's that going?
And everything was going smooth until you get an egotistical a-hole like A.J. Brown to start complaining about with his T.O. kind of concept about me, myself, and I giving me the ball. They was moving very smoothly, and then they got away from giving the best running back, in my opinion, Barkley, the ball to let him do his thing. And this is the problem in Philly, trying to appease one person, and he does it every year at some point when he feels that he's not getting enough of highlight, this A.J. Brown. Dynamite player, but his ego is kind of T.O.-ish. And, brother, I got to say something to my favorite Commanders, no disrespect, Redskin, Brian Mitchell on this line.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, I have your jersey on my wall.
Appreciate it.
Okay. And can we get you a contract to work with the special teams for the Commanders? Because this guy, Debo, who has been injury prone, is going to get hurt running that ball. That is not a wise decision. We need some Joe Gibbs kind of coaching around here. When you have a guy coming off of an injury, you don't give him a third and one quarterback sneak up the middle when he have knee problems. He got 8 yards on that. But at the same time, it was not
Chuck,
a smart
we got to run,
play.
Brother. We got to run. All right, thank you. All right, we got a break. Brad Biggs from Chicago joining us to preview the Bears game. What a night for Philadelphia. I mean, I remember I was in the link when some dude threw a cheesesteak at Chris Baker. I can only imagine what they were throwing and saying last night.
Yep.
Brad Biggs joins us next. Philly fans, phones are open all day.
Hey,
It's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
B. Mitch and Finley on a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. We generally don't start the celebrating until 11 a.m. just to be responsible, but considering all the things that happened in Philadelphia last night, should you choose to start celebrating now, I ain't mad at you. joining us right now is our friend Brad Biggs.
Bradley.
From Chicago. Brad, I know you've been out in Chicagoland for a long time now, but you're a D.C. boy at heart. Did you enjoy what happened to the city of Philadelphia last night?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that was a hell of a baseball game, wasn't it?
what a way to end.
That
pitcher better not go back to Philly.
Yeah, just a brutal ending. You, as much as you loathe Philly, like, you got a feel for that cat, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just like...
He just had a brain melt.
And they all talk about it. They do PFP, pitcher fielding practice, for hours, day after day in spring training, and the guy froze in the moment. The replays of that were really hard to watch.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Totally.
Oh yeah.
And then the Eagles, man, I get they're 4-2. They have a loaded roster, but they've now been outgained in every game they've played. Lost two in a row. Just there's trouble brewing up there with that Eagles team.
Oh yeah.
Well, but. I mean, it seems like every year almost they reach a point where you're like, boy, is this are they close to a tipping point, yeah, right? Is this about to go off the rails? And then the roster is such, and Howie Roseman does such a good job with them that they turn out to be just fine. And Sirianni goes from, you know, the biggest idiot in town to a genius.
Right.
So I don't know yet, but that was concerning, and with that Jackson Dart, Brian Daboll might just have enough there to save his rear end and keep his job, right?
Yeah, crazy.
Seems like it.
All right, we're talking with our friend Brad Biggs, covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune, knows this Bears team inside and out, been covering the Bears since 2001. Brad's joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. When I knew that Brad was the dude covering the Bears, I'm going back in time here, but it was about 10 minutes before, like, the Schefter and Rappaports of the world officially broke the news on the Montez Sweat trade to Chicago. Mm-hmm. I'd say it was like a half hour before that, I saw a tweet from Biggs, watch the Bears for a D-end. And then it was like, bang, right after that. All right, Brad, get us up to speed on all things Chicago. They're coming off the bye week. They've had some injuries to start, but might be getting some guys back.
Yeah, they're doing all right health-wise. You know, there's a Grady Jarrett. They paid him an awful lot of money to come over in free agency from Atlanta, the defensive tackle. He's banged up with a knee. He's been kind of playing on one leg before he missed some time, and so I think there's a level of concern for him, and that's problematic because defensively, they're not rushing the passer. That's what you'd hope he'd help with and getting a push up the middle. They've been atrocious stopping the run, guys. Brutal run defense. It's last in the league. And not only are they giving up yardage, they're giving up explosive plays. They are allowing opponents 6.15 yards per carry, which is more than a half yard worse than the 31st ranked Miami Dolphins. I went and looked at it. I said, when's the last time some team allowed 5.5 yards per carry over the course of a season? And we're still dealing with a small sample size through four games, but
right,
5.5 yards of carry. Last defense to do that was the 1959 Redskins.
Damn.
Damn.
Yeah.
I wasn't even born.
No. I mean, you know, that
that's how bad it's been. The opponents have been ripping off big runs on them, and then they've also been horrible on first down. Like they're giving up like an average of about 8 yards a play on first down, which you get a 65 yarder here and a 40 yard play there, and it can really screw those numbers up in a hurry. But they've been bad there. Now, in some respects, though, they've been really good. That's why it's hard to figure out. They've got 9 takeaways. I don't know how sustainable that is. They had 4 last time out against the Raiders. Geno Smith's been a turnover machine. You guys probably saw that earlier this season. And they're actually, I got to look at it, but going in the last weekend, they were number 1 in the league on third down. So they've been really good if they can get you in third down. Third and 5+, opponents have converted 3 of 25 opportunities against them. So it's striking because in a couple key respects, they're terrible on defense right now. And a couple of those metrics that you look at and you say, these are really telling statistics, they're very, very good. They should get a little bit healthier this week. They're getting linebacker TJ Edwards back. That ought to help the run defense a little. And then their nickel cornerback, Kyler Gordon, pretty good player, signed to a $40 million four-year extension this offseason, made him the highest paid slot corner in the league. He should make his season debut Monday night. He's been out since training camp with a hamstring injury.
Well, you know what people care about? People care about, what is it, number 15? Ever Caleb Ware? 15? Something like that?
18, maybe?
18.
I don't know.
Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson. How has it been working for y'all so far?
Yeah, Caleb and Ben have gotten off to a nice start, and that's been one of the impressive things that people have seen during this 4-game stretch is the growth and development of the quarterback. It looked, awkward in training camp. You know, the offense was getting, quite frankly, dominated most days by the defense, and you looked at it and you said, I don't know that the defense is a world beater. Like, this isn't the 85 Bears out there. How concerning is this? But Caleb's made some real strides in terms of pocket presence, being able to play in rhythm and on time. And that's been a big boost for him. And their sacks have dropped dramatically. They were terrible protecting the quarterback. Caleb was responsible for a good chunk of those league-high 68 sacks last season. They've been much, much better at avoiding some of those negative plays this season. And so you've seen some development in there. Along with it, the sort of ascent of Rome Odunze, who was also a first-round pick a year ago with Caleb at wide receiver. He's got a touchdown catch in every game so far and 5 total. That's sort of a budding young star in the league at that position.
Yeah, he's been great. Two things that I saw you point out. You've got the ref crew this week.
Yeah.
I saw your tweet earlier in the week. Alex Moore will work this game Monday night. They lead the league in calling penalties. They've got 95 penalties called, and another 22 have been declined. That's 13 more, basically 10, 12, almost 15% more than the number 2 crew. How much of an impact do you think that will have in this game? And is there anything specifically they call that's going to be just annoying as hell?
Well, the impact could be people be getting home from the game at about 1 a.m. Tuesday morning, right? That's the potential impact. Again, small sample size. It's his first year as a referee. You know, I bet there's a chance you throw on tape of those games they worked, and you're like, yeah, you have to call that hold, or that's clear pass interference there. You got to throw that. The penalty-wise, the Bears have had some issues with that, and one of the things they're really working to clean up is pre-snap penalties on offense. And that was an issue for him in training camp in terms of delay a game, false start, illegal shifts. I mean, you name it, everything was was out of sorts, and because they've added a lot of pre-snap motion to what they're doing. That's something that Ben Johnson believes highly in, that they did a lot of in Detroit. And so throwing that on the plate of the young quarterback who's learning a new system. They've got new offensive linemen working with each other. So that's been something that they feel like if they can tighten that up, they can start putting more points on the board, because nobody can make a living if they're consistently getting themselves in a first and 15 or situations like that. But, you know, hopefully it's not a dreadful game with flags everywhere, or you know who won't handle that well will be Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, and I don't blame them one bit.
They're great. Yeah. Honestly, the Buck Aikman pairing.
They call out the refs, which I love.
Troy has entered this IDGAF mode in his career, where he's not kissing ass to the league or anything. He's been fantastic.
You know what? I really enjoy them because they call it like they see it, and more times than not, I think what they're saying is what you're thinking as you're sitting there at home watching the ball game. Like, yeah, I can't believe how poorly this quarterback's playing, or can you believe how sloppy this game is? Like, they bring it to you. They don't try to gloss over that, and that makes for a good broadcast. It does.
Yeah, I love it.
Last thing, Brad, I don't know how this works in the Bears locker room. In the Commanders locker room all week, starting with the head coach and the quarterback, they have zero interest in discussing the Hail Mary from last year. I think for Washington, that's the right way to handle it, because last year means nothing. What does last year's impact, the way that game finished, and then what happened to Chicago after that, what is, if at all, the carryover this year?
Yeah, I don't think there's much, if any. Some people on social media have tried to label this as a revenge game for the Bears, and a revenge for what? Like, the Commanders didn't, like, take that win. The Bears gave it to them. Like Bears need to get revenge on themselves for some of the ridiculous things that happened, not just the Hail Mary. Like, remember the fumble at the goal line? And mm-hmm. I mean, there was all sorts of self-inflicted wounds, and things obviously spiraled out of control for the franchise. In the wake of that, they went out to Arizona, played a bad Cardinals team, and lost 29-3 the next week, and it was, you know, all downhill from there. But yeah, they're doing a pretty good job, led by the coach, of sort of compartmentalizing things on a week to week basis here. You know, you try to ask Ben Johnson anything about last year, and he'll just shut it down. Good, bad, or indifferent, he'll say, you know, listen, I wasn't here last year. We've started a new program. We're only concerned about what's right in front of us. And that's an important game for these guys coming off the bye. The Bears traditionally have been hot garbage out of the bye. They're like 1-10 or 1-11. I don't think that's applicable for Monday night, because it's a new coaching staff, new team, new season, all that. But we'll see how they come out, because they took advantage of a terrible Dallas defense, and the Cowboys were without CeeDee Lamb for almost the entire game. And they got very fortunate with a blocked field goal on the final play against a really bad Raiders team. So how do the Bears look when they have to take a step up in class?
It's going to be interesting, man. I'm excited, and we'll. I know you're excited for the press box in Landover, Brad.
Oh, it's a great spot. That's a great spot.
Good news, it's a night game, so they won't be serving the runny eggs. So we'll see what we get in there.
Yeah, but I mean, with the night game, it really probably shouldn't be a whole lot of traffic either, right?
In Green Bay?
Here, bro. Give yourself plenty of time,
man,
Brad.
Please.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you making time for us.
All right,
hey,
Brad.
Go
take
Caps.
Care, buddy.
Go Caps, guys.
Go
see
Caps.
Ya.
Damn right. Brad Biggs, just an absolutely great reporter covering the Bears and a D.C. boy at heart. Nobody go anywhere. Nikki Jabal is going to join us at 11.
Hey,
It's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We got a landfill special for you, folks. You're going to enjoy this. The B. Mitch and Finley AAA poll of the day is brought to you by AAA. Level up with the new AAA Commanders MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, plus exclusive experiences, discounts, and tickets. If you're already a AAA member, upgrade for free or join today at AAA.com/commanders. So, our friend Professor Landini put together the poll question today. Ready, B?
Yep.
What's the best Pennsylvania sports loss? Penn State was a four-touchdown.
Rub it in, Landfield.
Penn State was a four-touchdown favorite and lost to UCLA. The Eagles lost last night on Thursday Night Football to a pair of rookies just running around with their hair on fire, and the Eagles' offense looks completely anemic. Or the Phillies' walk-off error. To me, because of the stakes involved and the horrendous nature of the play, it's the walk-off error.
Yeah, it was horrible.
That said, we shouldn't let Penn State off the hook that easy.
Yeah, that was horrible.
That was the biggest underdog to win outright, I believe.
They beat the hell out of them from start to finish.
There's a local tie to this. I think the last underdog to win outright in that big of a game was when Howard beat UNLV out in Vegas.
Wow.
In football. Now, if I had to guess, whenever I hear something incredibly funky in Vegas, I always assume there's something involved. Like, if the UNLV Rebels lose at home to Howard as like a 30-point favorite, something tells me somebody knew something and there was a giant bag of cash involved.
Mm.
For Penn State to go to the Rose Bowl and lose to UCLA, who's already fired their coach 5 weeks into the season, god-awful.
Yeah.
And the Eagles lost last night. They're still 4-2. They're still the Eagles. Brad said it. If you missed any of our interview with Brad Biggs from Chicago, get on wherever you get your podcast, check that out, because he's a super smart dude and had great information about the Bears. But the Eagles tend to have these like extreme volatility points, and they just might be in one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the answer is the Phillies walk-off error. What is it for you, B?
I think that walk-off error was, since it was like at the end of the game like that, where
the 11th.
Yeah, I mean, but they could have, if you just get that out right there, you don't know what's going down. But you throw the ball that off from that close, that's terrible. But I know how people in Philly think. Football is everything. Watching that last night and losing to the Giants, by far that's the worst.
They got doubled up by the Giants.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the worst.
Landfill, what's your vote? Worst loss?
The one that made me happiest was the Eagles loss, because most people saw that. Plus, the Giants are just terrible. Losing to the Dodgers, it's an embarrassing way to lose, but the Dodgers are a good team, and Penn State's season was already over when they lost to UCLA. But the Eagles, you know, what the Eagles fans are realizing today is that their team might actually not be that good. And that's great. You know, this is just a complete psychological destruction of Philadelphia sports fans on Thursday night by Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo.
Like, for the Eagles, it's been everything's looked kind of messy, but they've been winning. So it's like, whatever. We don't care if it's messy. Like, we're winning. Now you've lost two in a row, and it's still messy.
You can't tell yourself that after you lose to the Giants in front of the entire country. You just can't.
Yeah, that was a little deplorable last night, I have to say.
Bad.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah.
Good day for us, though. Good night for us. Hell, White Brian got a dub.
White Brian happy, man.
I bet White Brian walked in that bedroom, woke Rose up, said, hey, honey.
Hey, get up.
Jackson Dart season.
Throw throw the darts, baby.
Hey, Rose, you see Cam Scadaboo rip his T-shirt off like he's Hulk Hogan? I'm about to do it.
And then he tried to rip it, and he couldn't tear the shirt.
Great night.
He tried to rip his shirt, he couldn't tear it.
100% White Brian was poaching eggs last night. Nobody go anywhere. Nicky Jabala joins us next.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.